appreciate your prayers for my wife this week. She enters the cardiac unit at Wesley Long tomorrow for tests, which we hope will indicate something that can lead to the improvement of her heart condition. She had begged the doctor not to put her in on Wednesday so she could be with us today to enjoy the activities of this homecoming day, but has been unable to do so. You can understand that's real disappointment to her, but we know that the disappointments are very often his appointments, and he has something in store for us. I want you to read with me tonight a passage of Scripture that I think applies very definitely to us here today at the Shamhill Chapel. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's been on my mind and heart in connection with today's gatherings, and I want to read it and share with you just a few thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read from verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. This is one of my favorite chapters, and it's very, very full of pertinent instruction. But I pass over very much just to draw your attention to this fact, that the Apostle Paul here, emphasizing that the work that had been done at Corinth had been done by God himself using various human instruments. You'll read about the beginning of the work at Corinth in Acts chapter 18. There you have Paul coming to that city, preaching the gospel, and Apollos sometime later, coming over from Ephesus and following on with the work. But I want to particularly draw your attention to the fact that in the ninth verse, after having spoken about the ministry that the Lord had entrusted to himself and to Apollos, he says, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Here are two very interesting and very instructive similes of a local assembly such as this, God's husbandry. Now, it's maybe a little more, a little simpler, a little more in language we use today. It's the thought of a tilled field, a field that had been plowed up, that had been harrowed, that had been sown, and was to produce a crop. Ye are God's husbandry. And in that connection, he has said, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase or the growth. He uses that thought, enlarging it in saying, by saying that he that planteth is nothing, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth a growth. I think the great lesson here is how absolutely dependent we are upon God for results in our service for him. You can till a piece of ground, large or small. You can work it very, very diligently. You can sow it with the very best of seed. You can water it. You can fertilize it. But you can't make it grow. But God has put into that seed that you have sown the germ of life. And because he is the creator, he causes that seed to grow, and eventually you have a crop and a harvest. Many years ago, when I was very young in the work of the Lord, I became a little discouraged at the lack of apparent fruit in my ministry. There weren't as many being saved as I wanted to see. And visiting in my home, I talked to my godly father about that. And although that is at least 50 years ago, maybe longer, I recall his words very clearly tonight. He said to me, son, don't forget, the seed that you are sowing is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. He said, keep at it. It'll bring forth fruit. It won't rot. It's indestructible. It's incorruptible. And it has the germ of divine life in it. Just keep sowing the Word of God, and it'll bring forth fruit. But seems to me, as I read this passage, that Paul passes on from that thought of the local assembly being God's tilled field and emphasize the fact it's God's building. Ye are God's building. That's what I want to talk to you just a few minutes about tonight. This assembly here is very dear to my heart. I have given almost 40 years of my life for the building up of this work here. And one would be very, very strange if they didn't love it and the people connected with it. And so I want to say just four things about a local assembly that I believe you have here. Paul speaks about the commencement of the assembly there at Corinth. He says in verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. That was the commencement of the assembly at Corinth. And he goes on in that strain in verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. The only foundation for a local church is Jesus Christ. And the laying of that foundation is through the preaching of the Word of God, the gospel of the grace of God. Neither Brother Wilson nor myself will ever forget, I'm sure, the day when he and I walked into the office of Chief Jarvis here in Greensboro, and our Brother Wilson talked to the chief about securing a permit to erect a tent here and preach the gospel. I've told you about that, as he has also. Brother Wilson wanted to preach the gospel of the grace of God. As he reminded us this morning, that is absolutely necessary to begin with and to continue with. So he wanted to preach the gospel, the saving gospel of the grace of God. He also wanted to see those converts whom he knew God would give him gathered together in a local testimony patterned after the New Testament. Now that's what Paul had in mind when he went to Corinth. He said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. The word is architect, and yet it goes beyond the thought of an architect. An architect draws the plans, but neither Paul nor Brother Wilson nor any other man can draw the correct plans for a local assembly. God drew them. God gave to Moses the plans for the tabernacle. He gave to David the plans for the temple. And he gave to the Apostle Paul the plans for the local assembly. And as a wise master builder, the Apostle was there in Corinth to follow out God's plans and to establish a New Testament assembly. And he did that through preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Earlier in this great epistle, Paul has told them, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It was the preaching of the cross of Christ that was going to draw those Corinthians out of the muck and the mire of their immoral lives, because it was a very cesspool of iniquity. But the apostle knew that he had the great leverage that would bring them out of that cesspool. It was the preaching of the cross of Christ. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You cannot build a local church on any other foundation than Jesus Christ Himself. No pope, no priest, no preacher, no creed, no denomination can be the foundation for a local church. It's Jesus Christ. Whether you think of an individual, whether you think of a local assembly, whether you think of the church as a whole, there is one foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The rock of ages. The rock that never can be shaken. And so you have the commencement of the local assembly at Corinth to the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God, the solid foundation of Jesus Christ for that local testimony. And thank God that is the foundation that was laid about 40 years ago for this local testimony. That is why it has continued. After the commencement of a local assembly, you have its consolidation. And so he says here, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. It's interesting to read about Apollos in Acts chapter 18, and to see how, after learning more of the truth at Ephesus, he was led over there to Corinth, and he consolidated the work at Corinth. That was the privilege the Lord entrusted to us back in 1943 when we came here. Sometime after coming here, getting acquainted with the work and the Christians, I wrote to my father again. I said to him a letter something like this, Dad, I kind of feel like one of Solomon's stone squarers. You read in 1 Kings chapter 5 about the stones that were brought up from those underground quarries for the building of the great temple at Jerusalem. It says they were great. They were costly. And they were huge, and they were brought up there. And today, the archaeologists who uncover some of these are still amazed at the tremendous size of them, how they were moved, how they were put into place, how they were so perfectly hewed that they fit exactly without any mortar, so that you can't get the blade of a knife in between two of those great slabs of stone. I said in my letter to my father, I said, Dad, Lester's been down in the quarry, and he's brought up a lot of good stone. Now, I said, God seems to have given me the task of squaring them up a little bit. Some of them got pretty rough edges. And some of them don't fit together too well. You read about Solomon's men, along with Hiram's men, Jew and Gentile, working together there, not only hewing out those stones, but they're called stone squarers. And so God gave us a privilege of trying to shape up those stones that have been brought up out of the quarry of sin where they lay in darkness and spiritual death, and shaping them up to build together into a local temple for the dwelling place of God. But then the work goes on. God, just as in the field of nature, as I've been referring to it, where there's growth, there'll be continued growth. So, a local assembly is commenced. It's consolidated. But it continues. And I'm one of those that believes that if we continue on in the things of God, God will continue to work and bless His word to both saved and unsaved. But He says to those who are going to continue this work, for Paul has a real heart for that work at Corinth. He has already said, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon. He says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You don't have to tamper with the foundation. You can't improve that. But, he says, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. I am concerned, and I've expressed it of late from this platform. I am not going to be around here too much longer. I have enough sense to know that at 70, how old am I? No, I got to keep on adding a year every now and then, or I'm away back there. Well, at 73, I know that I'm not going to be around here much longer. And when I get up to 74, which I actually am, that's 1 year less I'm going to be around here. But I know this. When a work is of God, it doesn't depend on Brother Wilson. It doesn't depend on Brother McKay. It doesn't depend on Brother Schwartz. It doesn't depend on Brother Andrews. It doesn't depend on the elders that are here. God uses every one of them. And God will give a reward to everyone. But the work isn't dependent on them. It's dependent on God. But I'm concerned that any and everyone who builds on the solid foundation that was laid here do just what Paul exhorted them here. To build. And to build of material that will stand the fire. And he speaks about six different kinds of material. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Gold. I believe that gold in Scripture always speaks of that which is divine. And in a special way, not only of God, but of the glory of God. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, everything that is built in this local assembly should be for the glory of God. Put that first and God will bless you. Put that first and this assembly will continue and it'll grow. Put God first and the glory of God first. And everything will be all right. But you build not only gold, you build silver. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ. I trust that from this platform and from behind this pulpit, there will never go out anything but the clear, simple, saving gospel of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to hear the sound of the silver trumpets of redemption. My, how it must have thrilled the whole land of Israel when on the Jubilee Day, the beginning of the year of Jubilee, the silver trumpets sent the message far and wide. This is the year of redemption. Brethren, young and old, get the silver trumpet to your lips and make the gospel resound throughout this city. That's our business. Put the glory of God first and let the message of the saving, redeeming, precious blood of Christ go forth. Gold, silver, precious stone. I don't know whether you can be absolutely certain as to whether these precious stones refer to what we call precious stones, such as we have in the book of the Revelation, in the foundations of the New Jerusalem. I rather think it refers to the stones. Typically, with which the tabernacle was built. The temple, rather, was built. It says they were great. They were costly. And they were huge. And every stone that is built into this local testimony should be one that has been hewed out of the rock of nature by the power of the Holy Spirit. That has been redeemed at that great cost of the precious blood of Christ on Calvary's cross. If we build these things, for the glory of God, based on the redemptive blood of Christ, to the work of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, this testimony will go on till Jesus comes. And it'll go on growing. You have not only the commencement of the work and the consolidation of it and the continuation of it, that will be assured if we build this. But don't get into the last three. Wood. Now, wood's a very useful thing. You happen to be sitting on some right now. And there's quite a little bit in this building. Wood's a very useful thing. But if fire were to take place tonight in this building, this wood would either be destroyed or badly marred. If the fire continued long enough, it would be completely reduced to ashes. There are a lot of things that are useful, but they're only temporary. They're like wood. And the judgment seat of Christ will all be burnt up. I'm afraid many local churches are getting all occupied with wooden ministry. You say, well, that's useful. Yes, it is. But it's only temporal. We are not here for temporal things. We are here for eternal things. Hay. What good is hay? Well, I imagine a cow appreciates it. I don't. No good for me, but it's good for cows. It feeds the animal nature. And there's so much today that's merely pandering to the flesh and not to the spirit. What is stubble good for? Nothing I know of. Just useless. But you know, you could bring in $1,000 worth of gold into this auditorium tonight, and you could even have it on your finger. I don't, but you could have it on your finger. And possibly no one would notice $1,000 worth of gold. You could have $1,000 worth of silver. And very few would pay any attention to it. But I'll tell you, if I drove $1,000 worth of, well, wood, you could get that in here at the price of wood now. Hay, well, it would fill it up a lot more, but just think of if you had $1,000 worth of stubble. Now you could fill Shanhill Chapel and all the Sunday school rooms and the storage building and the chapel house and $1,000 worth of chaff and still have quite a little bit left over of money. Big show. Yes. You can build up a big membership. Just double. Hay, wood at the very best. But just in closing, I want you to notice something else, a very solemn thing. It says in verse 17, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Now, there are three things that are referred to in the Bible as the temple of God. One is your body. That's chapter 6 and verse 19. That's your body. That's why I don't do certain things with this body of mine. It's the temple of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22. It's the whole church of God. The body of Christ. But here it's the local assembly. That's very clear. It's the local assembly. Now look at the next verse. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy.